Stuttgart, Germany, Chamonix class, June 16, 2009. Of the 64,
there are nine most important, which is hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, serving the lotus feet, offering prayers, carrying out the order of the Lord, becoming a friend, and surrendering everything. Out of these nine limbs of bhakti, and Prahlad Maharaj told his father that anyone who is executing these nine limbs of bhakti is the most intelligent person in the entire world. Out of these nine, there are five most important. That is, associating with devotees, and in that association, chanting the holy names of the Lord, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures, living in a holy place like Vrindavan, Mathura, Jagannath Puri, Navadvip, and serving the deities with faith and veneration, according to scriptural injunctions. Out of these five, there are three most important, which are hearing Krishna's name, chanting, hearing Krishna's name, fame, form, pastimes, paraphernalia, chanting his name and glories, and remembering his lotus feet and pastimes, fame, and glories. Out of these three, there is one that's the most important, and that is Nam Sankirtan, for the chanting of Hare Krishna and the chanting of, and secondarily, the chanting of other names of the Lord in glorification of his qualities and pastimes. So this book is all about the glorification of the results of chanting, the process of chanting, how to meditate while chanting, the authority of the chanting, the meaning of the names. Yesterday, we discussed the 10 offenses while chanting to be avoided. And Srila Jiva Goswami wrote a commentary on these 10 offenses. And he states that as long as one is committing these 10 offenses while chanting, even if he chants for millions of births, he will not achieve the desired success, which is Krishna Prema. So Anita Devi Dasi will tell us those 10 offenses in review.
Fill in the holes if I get lost.
Loudly, she will speak very loudly.
Okay. To neglect the instructions of the Guru.
That's number three.
Well, that's number three. To blaspheme the Vaishnavas, or those who are giving instructions of the glories of the holy name?
Who are spreading the holy name everywhere.
Okay. Is that one?
To blaspheme great devotees who are engaged in distributing the holy name all over the world.
Okay. Blaspheme great devotees distributing the holy name. Number two is to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be separate from the holy name or to not be included in the holy name.
And to be equal. If I chant Shiva, equal. Om Namo Shivaya, Om Namo Shivaya. But that's equal to chanting Hare Krishna.
Okay. And then three is to neglect the instructions of the Guru.
Who
gives instructions about the holy name.
And reveals the truth.
Of the holy name.
Because I can also give instructions, but I can't reveal.
Okay. Reveals the truth.
The truth of the name.
Number four is to consider the holy name, to the glories of the holy name, to be exaggeration.
This is number four?
Maybe.
Scriptures?
Yeah.
To blaspheme the scriptures?
To blaspheme the scriptures. Okay. Number four is to blaspheme the scriptures. Is five to consider it to be an exaggeration.
Mm-hmm.
And number six is to consider the glories of the holy name to be
sin.
To commit sin. No.
That's seven sins. But six is imagine.
Oh, to consider the glories of the holy name to be imaginary. Number seven.
And the names themselves to be
imaginary.
Imaginary.
Oh, like,
and the people
in time, you
whose names they
it's
are.
A process you can give up. That you use it for a while and then it disappears. That's what that one is. Six? Six? Okay. Imaginary. Seven.
Or you don't use it at all.
Okay. Seven is to commit sins on the strength of the chanting of the holy name, thinking I can do this because I'm chanting and it'll make it go away. Number eight is to consider pious activities like fire yogas or things like that equal or greater than the power of the holy name. Nine is to instruct.
What do pious activities give you?
They give you good karma.
Good karma, opulence, heavenly attainment.
Nine is to instruct the faithless on the glories of the holy name. And oh yeah. Number 10 is to even after hearing all the glorifications of the holy name, not to like
have complete faith.
Yeah, to have complete faith or to be on the bodily platform.
Maintain material attachment. In spite of hearing so many subjects on the matter.
What was number 5 again? 5?
5 to consider it exaggeration.
Mm-hmm. Consider the glory of the Lord exaggeration.
Okay. And then 6 was the
imagination.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we're just gonna read some of the glorifications of the holy name from various parts in the scripture, and either you can feel free to ask questions right in the middle, or I'll comment after reading. There's a mention in the Brahma Yamala where Lord Shiva himself describes the form, the nature of the form of the Maha Mantra. And he's speaking to Parvati, or his wife Durga Parvati Sati, who is the presiding deity over this material world. She's the superintendent of the prison of this world, or the warden of this material world. And she bestows illusory benedictions in order to keep the prisoners in prison, like health, wealth, society, friendship, and love. So we think that the prison is a very nice place. Despite the fact that there's birth, old age, disease, and death here, there's threefold miseries, miseries caused by the body, mind, other living entities, material nature. Other living entities means like insects or like other people. So he's saying, O Mahadevi, look, in Kali Yuga, there's no easier way to eradicate sins. All the suffering that we're experiencing is not due to him or her or any situation. All the suffering, according to the scriptures, all the suffering that we're experiencing is due to our past sins and offenses. If somebody finds himself in jail, confined, and he's wondering, why do I have to suffer in here? The reason is obvious, because he committed some crime. So similarly, everybody's here committed the original crime of turning away from Krishna and deciding to enjoy Krishna's illusory energy. And upon that, millions of births of sins and offenses. So there's no easier way, Lord Shiva's saying, to eradicate sins other than Sri Harinam. Any ignorance that I'm experiencing? Any obstacle in chanting and being able to absorb myself in the nectar? As we may read about pure devotees, their hair stand on end, tears shower from their eyes, but I'm not experiencing anything. So Chaitanya Charitamrita says this is also due to sins and offenses. Why do I have any bodily pain, mental aggravation? All because of sins and offenses. Because this world is like a prison house. So it is therefore essential to propagate Sri Harinam among the general populace. The people in Kali Yuga can be easily liberated from the greatest hell by performing Sankirtan. And what is Sankirtan? Sarva Bhavena Kirtan. Sankirtan generally means complete kirtan, and it generally refers to congregational chanting. But the actual definition of Sankirtan is Sarva Bhavena Kirtan. That means kirtan when all anarthas are removed and one is chanting with all the natural sentiments of the soul. There's so many, all the sentiments that we have, attachments, aversions, unhappinesses, happinesses, they all have nothing to do with ourself. But there is real emotions, like hair standing on end, pallorizing of the complexion, tears, jubilation, being stunned, being mad in separation. These are all emotions of the real soul that come at the level of bhava bhakti, when the transcendental tastes start developing in practice of bhakti. So the people in Kali Yuga can be easily liberated from the greatest hell by performing Sankirtan of the Maha Mantra. That's why your Nagar Sankirtan is so important, chanting in the streets. To chant the Maha Mantra, first chant Hare Krishna twice, then it tells how to do it. Then Krishna Krishna twice. One should chant, articulate, and perform Sankirtan of Krishna's Maha Mantra, which destroys all sins. Any questions about this at this moment? Yes.
After the sins are destroyed, is it the same amount of propensities to sin, or do you sin less, or not sin at all?
Once sins are eradicated?
Yeah.
So the question is that when sins are eradicated, do you also lose your desire to sin? Is that the question?
Yeah. Or is it like cleansing sins like from the past and then you may sin more, or is it completely like you're sin free, you don't want to sin anymore?
When one is completely free from sin, that is, there's one verse in the Brahma Samhita, Karmadi Nirdahati Kintu Chabhakti Bhajan. Once all karma is eradicated, both pious and sinful. Pious activities may lead me to name, fame, and fortune, or going to heavenly planets, enjoying godly delights, getting mystic powers. So all karma is eradicated when one is fully absorbed in bhajan. When one is partly absorbed in bhajan, he is relieved from sinful reactions. The propensity to commit sin again is there as long as we have material desires. They're kind of synonymous. But the material desires go away at a certain stage of chanting. When one tastes the chanting and develops greed for spontaneous love, which comes at, for example, the very final stages of ruchi and entering into asakti, and especially when one enters bhava-bhakti and he's experiencing spiritual emotions, then there's no question of material emotions. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami set the example of a perfect sadhak, or perfect practitioner, because he had so much greed for the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he was experiencing the higher taste, and so much greed for Radharani's service, that Gurudev said he had no time to look in the mirror even. Even before he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or even before he had the permanent association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after meeting him once, he had the most beautiful wife in the world. Gurudev said she could have won the Miss Universe contest, but he had no time to look at her. Raghunath Das Goswami. So when there's actual greed for spontaneous service, then one doesn't have two minds anymore.
How can we cultivate that greed?
Oh, that's a good question. How do we cultivate the greed? Practically speaking, by taking shelter of one who has the greed, or one who is the embodiment of the result of having had greed, who's come to this world in the form of one who has greed. Does that make sense? In other words, taking shelter of an associate of the Lord who has come to this world in the form of a sadhak, a Raghunuga Bhakta, associating with him, following his instructions on how to do bhajan. On one side, how to do bhajan, which is how to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. By while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, thinking of so many other assisting mantras. We discussed this also. Somebody had a question on, which was, with what mood should we approach the Maha Mantra, being Radha and Krishna themselves? So, uttering prayers, remembering prayers, other prayers to Radha and Krishna, and to the Holy Name, and to the associates of the Lord who are present in the mantra. It may not seem like they're present in the mantra, because you only have two people really. There's Hare, that's Radha, Krishna, that's Krishna, and Hare is Radha again, and Ram is Krishna again. Because Hare, Ram in this connection is not Balaram or Parsaram or Ramchandra, but in the Hare Krishna mantra, although Ram, Balaram, Parsaram, and Ramchandra, who are incarnations of the Lord, are included within the name Ram, the complete personality of Ram, because all incarnations are included in Krishna, the complete personality of Ram is Raman, Radha Raman, is that Ram of the Hare Krishna, Hare Ram mantra. So, there's only two people in the mantra, but because these two people have pastimes, and the holy name is not different from the people, and the people are not just standing there, but they're engaged in pastimes, unlimited pastimes, with their associates. So that means the associates are also within the mantra, because the mantra includes unlimited pastimes. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam, in this world there's so many volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, but in higher planets there's more volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is only an atom of all the pastimes. So all the pastimes, all the glories, all the planets, all the universes, everything is within the holy name. So I can also pray to any of the Lord's associates who are present in the mantra, including Giriraj Govardhan, including Jamuna, including Gopiswara Mahadev, including Lalita, Vishakha, Rupa Manjari, Argurudev, Navadvip, Vrindavan, Yogamaya, and so on. There are many prayers to these personalities in our songbook and in other songbooks. So we can remember assisting prayers while we're chanting Hare Krishna mantra. And that is, if we're singing in a prayerful, remembering in a prayerful mood, absorbed, and not thinking of anything else, that's bhajan. So how to come to that is by first mechanically doing it and going through the motions of remembering the songs and the other prayers while I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Also, there are five stages in chanting the mantra, which particularly are in relation to the Gayatri mantra. I know some of you have the Gayatri mantra. How many have the Gayatri mantra here? At least half. You too?
Gopal mantra.
Gopal, very good. So there are five stages in chanting Gopal mantra or Gayatri mantra, which also applies to the Hare Krishna mantra. So in answer to your question, how to come to that stage of full absorption, where everything reminds us of the prayers and the name and the personalities of the name, one way is to remember these five stages. So the first stage is called Mantra Art Chintan, which means to, chintan means to remember, meditate on, think about the meaning of the mantra. Mantra Art Chintan. Art means meaning. So, as we're discussing some of the meanings here. And then to meditate on who is the, within Mantra Art Chintan, is meditating on the Ishtadev, or the worshipable deity of the mantra. So the worshipable deity of the Hare Krishna mantra is Radha and Krishna. Hare meditating on Radha, Krishna meditating on Krishna, Hare, Radha, Rama, Krishna, and our acharyas like Gopal Guru Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur explain different meanings here. And there are so many other meanings. If I remember the pastimes and then pray to serve in those pastimes, that's another meaning. There's many, many levels of meaning. So, Mantra Art Chintan means to meditate on the meaning of the mantra, the Ishtadev of the mantra, the qualities of the Ishtadev, and my relationship with the Ishtadev, which includes prayers for reviving that relationship in their service. Prayers to Radha and Krishna and prayers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's also Radha and Krishna. Any questions at this moment in relation to Krishna Prabhu's question? Is it clear? If anything's not clear, please tell me. So then, the second stage, the first stage is Mantra Art Chintan. The second stage is Nyas, which means rules and regulations. There are no rules and regulations for chanting Hare Krishna except to give up sense gratification. For chanting the Gayatri Mantra and Gopal Mantra, there are many rules and regulations. One should be clean, one should face a certain direction, one should chant at a certain time of the day. Then the third stage is called prapati. Prapati is the surrender to the mantra, in this case the Hare Krishna mantra, with faith that there's nothing in existence outside the mantra. The mantra looks very small, doesn't it? In fact, we can't even see it. Everything else looks pretty big. The room looks big. The clock looks big. The rug looks big. All these bodies look big. Our bodies look big. But the mantra, I can barely see it. It's just like a little sound vibration. So pravati is the conviction that really all reality is in the mantra. And this room is also in the mantra. And this universe is also in the mantra. Because mantra, on one hand, means, tra means delivering, and man means mind. It's the chant that delivers the mind from the mental agitated platform to the blissful spiritual platform. That's one meaning of mantra. But mantra is also not just a prayer, but it's the actual personality, him or herself. Like the guru mantra or Guru Gayatri is actually Guru. Not only as we see him here in this world, but as he's serving Radha and Krishna with an inclination towards Radha in the spiritual world. The Gaur Gayatri, Gaur Mantra, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So, and all of existence is included within Krishna. As you heard, those who received Harinam initiation from Gurudev, he said, you should know that the name is as powerful as Krishna, and therefore the name can create and destroy innumerable universes in a moment. So that conviction that there's nothing outside the existence of the mantra is called, that surrender to that understanding is called pravati. Then there are activities of that surrender. There are six activities of that surrender to the fact that there's nothing in existence outside the mantra. So that these six activities in relation to that surrender is called Sharanagati. The first limb of Sharanagati is to accept everything favorable for chanting the mantra. If I'm criticizing others, na 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 na, then that's unfavorable. Bhakti Devi and the holy name can easily walk away and do easily walk away. Smoking marijuana is unfavorable for chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So rejecting everything unfavorable and becoming angry is unfavorable. Therefore, those of you who have taken Harinam from Gurudev will remember that he always explains that we keep this finger out because it's the anger finger. Don't you know who I am? I'm going to break your leg. You don't listen to me. So, this is unfavorable. And accepting everything favorable, associating with your devotees is favorable. Coming to festivals is favorable. Eating, in the gross sense of the word, only Krishna prasadam is favorable. Making the offering with full attention is favorable. Avoiding the association of non-devotees for sense gratification is favorable. So accepting everything favorable, rejecting everything unfavorable, thinking that, not only thinking that Krishna is my protector and that he will protect me under all circumstances, and that really there's no need to think that I have any problems, because really there's no problem. Because if a problem comes, I have the faith that Krishna will take care of it. So, not only thinking that Krishna will protect me, but that Krishna alone will protect me. My husband won't protect me. He can't solve my problems. And if it looks like he's solving my problems, that's because I have the mercy of Krishna, who's using my husband to help me solve a particular problem. Not that I should kick my husband out and say, I don't really need you, I only need Krishna. But knowing that. Or if my husband does something nice, I say that you didn't really do it. You should be very grateful. But knowing. And that Krishna is my only maintainer. And that Krishna will maintain me. as Lord Chaitanya told Srivas Pandit, whose appearance day is in 2 days from now, and we'll be having a glorification of him at Narahari Prabhu's house on Thursday night. So as Mahaprabhu told Srivas Pandit, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling Srivas Pandit, why don't you do something for your maintenance? You're always, you and your brothers are always engaged in chanting Hare Krishna. You don't have any rats in your house because you don't have any food. You have like an air-conditioned house because you have holes in your roof. Why don't you do something to maintain your family? So Srivas Pandit claps 3 times. Mahaprabhu said, why are you clapping 3 times? And he said, because if I have no food on the first clap, on the first day, then I clap on the second day, I clap on the third day, well, I'll just jump in the Ganges. Means that he didn't care. So then Mahaprabhu told him, Lakshmi may have to beg. Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, may have to beg, but you will never have to beg, because you have so much faith in Krishna. So then, I'm thinking of myself the most fallen, so that Krishna will have to, surely have to take care of me. So those are the 6, oh, that's 5 symptoms of surrender, and the 6th is not having any desires different from the desire of the Lord. In Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayer of surrender, called Atmani Vedanam, he said that now that I have practiced this not having any desires different from yours, I see only joy in all the 4 directions. So that's the 4th stage of chanting the mantra, and the 5th stage is to actually merge into the mantra, which is the stage of bhajan, where I enter into the heart of the mantra and the mantra enters into my heart and we become one, and I enter into where the pastimes are. If you look in the back of this temple room, you see the painting of Venu Geet. Where are the gopis? They're in their houses and they're singing Venu Geet. And they're so absorbed in singing Venu Geet, lamenting that they're not with Krishna and how fortunate all the other residents of Vrindavan are, that they have association with Krishna and the gopis don't. And they're so absorbed in thinking of Krishna being out in the forest and their prayers that the last verse of the Venu Geet, which is spoken by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Brigid, is that the gopis achieve such a high state by the chanting of their Venu Geet that they became one with the heart of the mantra, and the mantra entered their heart, and they ended up in the place where they were chanting about. They were chanting about, praying about Krishna in the forest with the Jamuna and the deer and the birds and Govardhan and the coward boys and the cows and the calves, and they ended up there stealthily sharing sidelong glances with Krishna. So they're the emblem of bhajan. Does that answer your question? Yes.
When you were describing how Krishna maintains us completely, or to have that faith completely, it reminded me also of a verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna is telling Arjuna, you have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities, and never not be attached to doing your duty. So, I mean, to...
Never be attached to not doing your duty?
Yeah, never be attached to not doing your duty. So always do your duty.
Mm-hmm.
So, how can you elaborate on that in relation to believing Krishna is fully maintaining me?
Why do you say that verse is an example of that?
No, it's kind of contradictory, or they need to be balanced.
Oh, I see. You should
take action. Yeah, maintain,
a
job or whatever.
I see. Perform your prescribed duty.
Yeah.
But don't be attached to the result. And don't be attached to not doing your duty, and don't think you're the cause of your duty. Don't think you're the cause of the action.
I have another question. How do I know what's my duty?
Okay, so, yeah, that's a good question. I don't know what's my duty.
Yeah,
so, right. Okay, so your question is that this seems contradictory to the understanding that we should have faith that Krishna's maintaining, so why should I endeavor to maintain myself? That's the question.
Yeah.
Because he's not only talking about the duty to maintain, he's talking about all kinds of duty. But you're specifically asking about the duty to maintain, active work. So this duty, that's why Bhagavad Gita is the ABC of spiritual life. A person who's a pure devotee, he has no action that he needs to perform. If he's performing a duty of maintenance or any duty, that's only to teach the people in general how to perform his duty within Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, Bhagavad Gita says that a self-realized soul has no need to perform any duty. Even Krishna says, I have no need to perform any duty, but still I'm acting in the capacity of Kshatriya. Because if I didn't work, then the whole world would go into ruination. Because whatever great men do, common men follow in their footsteps. So the duty to maintain myself is not there for the fully pure devotee. He only acts as an example to others. And he may do his duty to maintain and then have everything fall apart also, just to show others how one comes to pure devotion. Like the example is our Srila Prabhupada. He was a chemist and he had a family who wasn't very conducive to his Krishna consciousness, and his work all fell apart, his chemical factory all fell apart, and he tried something else and that all fell apart. And then ultimately he just left his family and took sannyas. So he was showing an example for us how one comes gradually to Krishna consciousness, but he had no duty to perform. So, but in our state, where we don't have that full faith, then we should do our duty, knowing that Krishna is my maintainer, that I'm going through the motions, because as Krishna told Arjuna, if you don't work for me, okay, why am I going to work? So that I can maintain myself for being able to serve Krishna. So he told Arjuna, if you don't act, because Arjuna said, why should I fight this war? It's a ghastly war, I have to kill my relatives. Why don't I just meditate? So Krishna told Arjuna that everyone has to act according to his nature. What can repression accomplish? There's four ashrams and four varnas, four kinds of occupation. Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. And everyone in the material world is within that category. So everyone is forced to act helplessly by the impulses born of the modes of material nature. No one can stop acting even for a moment, Krishna is telling Arjuna. Therefore, you should perform your prescribed duty of fighting for his satisfaction. Otherwise, you'll fight anyway, because you're a Kshatriya. Otherwise, work binds one to the material world. Therefore, O Arjuna, perform your prescribed duty for his satisfaction, and in this way, become free from bondage. Does that help? Okay. And then, how do we know what is our duty? That's a very good question. When I take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, then I'm surrendering my independence to my spiritual master. And then I follow in the footsteps of Srila Sanatana Goswami, who told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so now you have delivered me from the ditch of material existence. So now please tell me who I am and why these threefold miseries are always striking me and what is my duty. Now that I've come to you, what is my duty in your service? So there's duties according to nature, and there's duties according to the order of the spiritual master. Until one comes to a bona fide spiritual master, in the Vedic culture there was the Varnashram system. With the Brahmins, everyone is under the spiritual master anyway. But under that there's the Brahmins, who are the priestly class, the knowers of scriptures, and they guide the king, and the king engages the citizens according to their type of, according to their nature. For example, the Sudra has a certain nature. He's not an entrepreneur, but he serves others. The Vaishya is either an agriculturist or a tradesman. So everyone acts according to their nature within the Varnashram system, under the good administrator, and everyone's under the Brahmin. And the Brahmins are ultimately the sannyasis are supposed to be the spiritual masters of society. So when a Varnashram system is not working, when Sudras are in the position of presidents and mayors and governors, then Srila Prabhupada explained that Srimad Bhagavatam is the guide. And Srimad Bhagavatam explains about taking shelter of a bona fide guru. So then the guide is the guru who has unlimited intelligence to guide the disciple. So I can ask him, what is my duty? Often it doesn't matter what kind of work I have, if I'm a worker, as long as that work is not unfavorable, and as long as it can help me, like a being a butcher is unfavorable, and as long as it can help me to go to see the pure devotee and his associates as much as possible. And the best duty is preaching. As our Prabhupada said, the best business for a grihastha is book distribution. Or supporting the book distribution, supporting the preaching with my money, and that's equal. For example, there's a new program called GBP Book Distribution Sponsorship. And at this moment I'll take a commercial break, which is that on the morning walk in Houston, one of the devotees who's distributing Gurudev's book said, can you say something about book distribution? And Gurudev said, I want it to go on exactly as it was in Prabhupada's time. Door to door. Every house should get a book. Not only one, but one to begin with. So, in Prabhupada's time, you know, and at the festivals, Gurudev said that in Prabhupada's time, everybody gave up their youth, their shyness, their young energy to go to the seaports, airports, and so on to distribute his books, but my disciples are not so qualified. There's a little bit more of a difficulty at this time than it was in that time, because at that time it was very easy for tens of thousands of people, because it was the time of revolting, revolution against modern society. And so many people were not married. And they could easily move into a temple. We have 100 or 200 people in a temple. And they all go to colleges, dormitories, door-to-door, streets, airports, and so on, distributing books, preaching, going to colleges. But now, when Gurudev came, so many people are already married, they already have children, they already have big houses, big jobs, big responsibilities, joint families. And so that temple situation, where nobody has to maintain, doesn't exist in many places. So, devotees are doing the best they can under the circumstances, and one thing to help with that is the book distribution sponsorship program, where somebody can sponsor another person's doing books. For example, there's a RAC program, which is now going on somewhat in America, following the ISKCON RAC program called Shastradan, which distributes millions of Prabhupada's books. So we're just starting. So far, many hundreds of books have been distributed in the RAC program, taking RACs to stores, doctor's offices, and so on. A rack means
like a shelf.
But it's like a display. Like you see displays in all kinds of stores, grocery stores. You always see displays, perfume displays, or any kind of display. So now we have book displays, where according to one's ease, one's nature, one can participate. Somebody can bring in the racks to the stores, and the scientist can tell more details. I don't want to take up too much of the class time. It's already 10 to 8. Somebody can bring in the racks and work with the store owners or doctors to keep replenishing the books, and people can take free books. And somebody else gives the donation. Somebody else is the representative to find donors. And then the GVP sponsorship program sends the books to the particular place. The donor can give a donation in general that can be used for anywhere, or they can give a donation for something specific. And somebody can ask for a donation for something specific. For example, one of the temple leaders of Orissa, Jagannath Puri, in Srila Gurudev's temple there, Jagannath Puri, he asked for a donation so that they could print 20,000 books to distribute at the Rath Yatra Festival, where there's going to be tens of millions of people in just a few days from now. But he asked some months ago. So, because he saw that the book distribution sponsorship program sponsored 10,000 Bengali books to distribute during Gurudev's Gaur Purnima festival in Bengal. So inspired by that, and wanting to see it happen in his hometown of Jagannath Puri, he requested that. So the book sponsorship program gave him funds to print 20,000 books in Oriya, and they translated it. And in a few days, they'll be distributing those books at the Rath Yatra Festival. And devotees from different temples in Vrindavan and Navadvip and other cities in India are going to join in and help with the distribution of prasadam and books. And if they can get the art posters, so posters, they'll have some tables there as well. So that's an example of the different people taking different parts. So like that, we have a lot of brochures here, so anybody can read it. So somebody can say, I want to donate to the a German prison, because my father died in the prison, and he died in the Great Depression. So I'd like to see these spiritual books go to the prison. The GBP sponsorship program has sent books to 3 prisons so far. As you can see, one of them is somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Here. Books for bars. Books through bars. So somebody may say, my father died in a prison, very depressed. So I'd like to see 1,000 books go to that prison. So then the GBP sponsorship program sends books to that prison and gets photographs and a report, works with the prison, and then sends that report to the donor so that he knows that it happened. And maybe some letters from the prisoners. So it's a very multifaceted type of thing. It can go through the GBP sponsorship program, or since you have mostly German books, you can invent your own sponsorship program. That is, if, say, if Kanaya Lal Prabhu, with the help of Manju Didi, is printing all these beautiful German books, then the donation might go to him. I don't know the detail, I'm just making it up. But, you know, you can all work out the logistics. The donation would go to him, and then he'll send the 1,000 books to the prison. Hamburg, whatever, wherever that prison is, or Stuttgart. Does that make sense? So in that way, your city and your country is being cultivated for you to help create that atmosphere. Is that? Any questions on that? Any questions or comments? Does it sound good? Does it sound bad? Does it sound like it could go good or bad?
Where else besides prisons?
Sorry?
Where
else? Hospitals, battered women homes, libraries. Here's some books going to the Hong Kong Public Library by Indira Dasi. I mean, the only limitation is our imagination. Hong Kong. The Hong Kong Temple had a lot of books that were donated to them several years ago in English, which they were having a hard time distributing. It was all free books. So when we were there in Hong Kong, oh, you were there. You were there when we went to the Hindu Temple?
I didn't go to the Hindu Temple.
But I mean, you were there in Hong Kong.
Yeah,
and we came back and told you about it. So we went to the Hindu Temple, and it was a special day. It was a day of, because they worshiped the demigods. So it was Varuna Dev's appearance day. So we gave a talk on Varuna Dev from the Bhagavatam and told about his relationship with Krishna. And then we said, we have a special present for all of you in honor of Varuna's day. And so we took everybody's name, we got about 50 names for the Hare Katha Nyanamrita, and gave out about how many books? Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai, Pisachi Nandan Gaur Hari Ki Jai. Over 103 books them, and they were just so overwhelmed that they were getting these wonderful gifts. And they were already Indian, so they appreciated it. So the only limit is our imagination. So like, for example, there are drug rehabilitation places. And here there's a quote saying that by reading these books, people get off drugs and alcohol. And our Prabhupada said that the government is spending millions of dollars to stop drugs, but they're unsuccessful. But I simply say stop, and they stop. So the books have that power. So drug rehabilitation places, so many, the doctor's office, especially Indian doctors and doctors and dentists, and Indian-run stores, motels, just like they have Bibles, hotels, motels. They have Bibles, so they can take these books as well. Okay, so I'm going to quickly read what we started reading yesterday, the continuation of the meaning of the different names. And I'll run through them quickly because it's late. Oh, Hare, Hare. Please captivate my mind and release me from material existence. Oh, Krishna. Please attract my restless mind towards you, because Krish means attract and Nam means joyful. Hare means one who steals away. So Radha steals away Krishna's mind. She also takes away our taste for matter. Can't believe it, now we're souls and we have a taste for dead matter. We have a taste for blood and pus and stool and urine, which this body is made of. Yep. Oh Hare, captivate my mind with your spontaneous madhurya, because with your conjugal love for Krishna, you captivate his mind. Oh Krishna, please make my mind pure with the knowledge of bhajan, as given by your bhaktas, who understand the science of bhakti tattva. So there's so many meditations while chanting Hare Krishna. Oh Krishna, please make me have staunch faith in your name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Oh Krishna, may I develop taste for your name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Oh Hare, please make me qualified to serve you. Oh Hare, please make me qualified to and order me to serve you. Oh Hare, please make me hear your sweet, I'm going over the 16. Please make me hear your sweet pastimes with your dearmost devotees. Oh Ram, Radhika Ramana, make me hear your most cherished pastimes and your sweet affectionate voice in Golok in the company of your beloved Radha. Oh Hare, Srimati Radhika, please give me darshan of your dearmost pastimes with you and your beloved Krishna. Oh Ram, Radhika Raman, please reveal to me your pastimes with your beloved. Oh Ram, you who perform pastimes with your eternal associates, please engage me in remembering your name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Prabhupada gave a very, very simple definition of the Maha Mantra in the very beginning in 1966, praying to the holy name that I came to this world to enjoy, but I find that I can't. So please appoint me in your service. And I went with Prabhupada to a college engagement. And then university is another place. I went with Prabhupada to a college engagement, and then after the engagement, you know, there's the kirtan, and then he's walking up the aisle, and somebody in the back aisle, back row, he went to the aisle and he asked Prabhupada, how come the repetition of the name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, why the repetition? So Prabhupada said, oh, that is love. My dear friend, my dear friend, my dear friend. So in this way. Any final question? Because now it's 8. And you can take a look at these, and maybe Gokul Prabhu or somebody can translate this into German, so you could, if you'd like to all help with this program. Which is blessed by Guru.
I have actually one question. Now we were at a festival and Gurudev was mostly speaking about the pastimes of Gauranga, and I was thinking, is this the right understanding? He gave now the seeds in my heart of these pastimes.
The seeds what?
The seeds. I mean, by hearing him speak in these pastimes, I have the seeds in my heart now. To realize this, has it? That's for
yes.
Us. My duty now is to, for example, I should read now the Chaitanya Bhagavat and try to remember that one. That
and Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially Chaitanya Charitamrita, but at least once Guru said Chaitanya Bhagavat.
And reading and my chanting, remembering what I'm reading, or how is it exactly? I mean, what is my, I'm not, I don't know
Remembering the pastimes, and then there are so many prayers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to Navadvip. Vasanti, are you here?
Just doing the mantras, dolphin.
Okay. In one of the pages before the songs, there's the Mangalacharana section of the song book, and there's a prayer to Navadvip. Maybe you can all say that with me. Navina Sri Bhakti, found it? In the beginning. It's in the Mangalacharana section. Navina Sri Bhakti.
Page 16 in the future.
Navina Sri Bhakti, Navakanaka Gauri Kirti Pratim, Navarendra Sri, Navasuri Suri, Vadya Vadyam. Navina Sri Radha, Nirashamayo Kirtanavi, Navadipam Vande, Navakarana Madhyam, Navajajam. Can somebody read it out loud in German?
Das Land, in dem Sri Krishna in goldener Gestalt herabstieg, Bhakti zu geben, die nie zuvor gegeben worden war. Das Land, in dem sanfte Winde die Ganga auf ihrem Weg durch junge, blühende Wälder begleiten, in dem Sri Radha und Sri Hari sich in einer Form vereinen, um jenen Namen zu schenken, der von Gefühlen der Hingabe überfließt. Ich bete zu Sri Navadvip Dharma, jenem Land, in dem jugendliche Liebe in reicher Fülle erwacht.
So there are so many nice prayers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his gold.
Because also I often read that I should first meditate on the Ganga's pastimes and then later meditate on Srimad and Krishna. Is this okay?
It's okay and it's not necessary. Because we understand Radha and Krishna through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But without understanding Radha and Krishna, we can never understand Mahaprabhu. So they work together. Any final question?
Here's a Sringara Ras. Is that like
Madhurya Ras? You have any question, Jayashree?
Yeah, but it's mainly a long term question. Maybe I.
Tomorrow? Okay. You mean it requires a long answer? Okay, so you could ask that at the beginning of tomorrow then? Could you remind
me?
Tomorrow is Wednesday, right?
Tomorrow we have outside program.
Oh, tomorrow we have an outside program. Okay. If you can remind me sort of at the beginning? Okay. Or you can say it now and then I'll just bring it up.
No, because you remember my friend Natalie?
Yeah.
She was here and now we have some problems, not some problems, but her friend seems to detect and
prohibited.
She had to come here and...
Her friend?
A friend, her ex-boyfriend.
Oh.
And also I have some problems with my mother and other friends who are thinking I'm going into now, and
oh.
I don't know how to answer because
very
I
good question, and you're right, it does require a long answer. So, tomorrow is a public program.
Yeah.
I'll try to, if you remind me at the beginning, I'll try to answer it during the slideshow.
Yes.
And if I don't fully do it, then remind me again on Thursday because it's a very good question. And
maybe
it does deserve.
Maybe we'll invite you tomorrow to come, both.
No,
no?
But I don't think
so what do you mean by sect?
Like something, yeah, that's like in media people are afraid of the
no, we're gonna break up the
cult.
What is cult?
Like
what's it called?
Yeah, that you don't have your own thoughts anymore and
being
brainwashed.
Yeah, they want your money and they want you to sell books on the street and they don't understand why.
Okay.
We wanna use you.
They wanna use you and they
use you.
We are not
control
able anymore
you.
To come out of this by ourselves.
Yeah.
Say that again?
Yeah,
they think we don't want this? We just manipulate
right,
and we can't come out
good,
here
good.
Anymore.
Yeah, we addicted from you and go forward.
What's our money?
Okay, good. Thanks for the clarification. And Gaur Premanandi
Hare
Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Jai Jai Shivarina Mahamantra Ki Jai Jai Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai 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 Jai